Welcome, sisters, to our problem-solving class. We are going to solve the world's problems all in an hour. Okay, we've given you all a handout here, and we're going to step through that handout. What we'll do partway through, after we've done the first two sections, and we're not actually going to do all the third section here, it's just really the first two pages. That third section, I will open it up to you for any suggestions on problems that would be appropriate to share here that we could address. Not necessarily your problems or somebody else's in the audience, but something general that would be sensitive to raise that we could explore. I will give you a little list of these. It was given to me in advance, not from this particular group. And if you prefer, we can just choose some of these to actually try to apply some of what we're talking about in this particular exercise together. Okay, so you can keep that in mind, and when we get there, I'll see if there's any suggestions from you. So, look, this is really just a discussion around the power of God's Word and its impact in our lives. I think sometimes the Word of God is undervalued in terms of what it offers and provides us. And I want to sort of, you know, preface my remarks that I realize sometimes in certain problems and areas that we bring in other maybe help, maybe professional help is utilized. I tend to be wary of that myself, but I have been involved in actually interviewing people for use, and sometimes they're utilized simply because in certain areas there's little resource and there's help that's needed. Sometimes things are, you know, pretty messy and difficult, and this is a path that people have chosen to go down to help with certain types of problems. I'm not really going to get into that. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. Any expertise I have is the same as you have on the basis of reading the Word of God and having a great respect for it. So that's really where we're coming from in this. I think if we're ever going into the world of science or psychology, we always have to be discriminating. We know of some of the things that are said, and those can be a problem. If you're providing counsel, you might be able to, you know, see that, but if someone is the counseled in those situations and very vulnerable, then they might be someone who doesn't see that and actually takes that message and can go down the wrong path. So we have to be very careful with that. And the spirit of this exercise here really is just to maximize at least the Word of God and to utilize this wonderful resource that we have for life before us. I love this beautiful theme at the beginning here. The testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Literally, it's the men of my counsel. In the Hebrew, the testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And so we have all these counselors, so to speak, God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these others that really contribute so much wisdom to us in life. Now, for most of my younger life, I tended to be on the proactive side in terms of messaging, like, you know, you do this, then this won't happen. And you kind of always focus on the wisdom of the Word and to avoid problems. And somewhere in life, you kind of realize that, you know, you have problems, and it doesn't help people to say, well, you should have done this or you should have done that. And I think the spirit of this as well has been put together on the basis of realizing that sometimes we got problems, we're in the problem, and it's no use telling people what they should have done. Because you got to help them in that current situation. So we are going to put on two hats. I mean, we can talk about it from a perspective of, you know, for ourselves. We all have issues and challenges from time to time, but we also are all in situations where we're advising and maybe not formally counseling, but we are giving counsel and advice to various people as we proceed through life. And this exercise can hopefully help in respect to that or give you some more things for consideration. Okay, so as I said, we'll go through these first two sections briefly together. And the first one is really survival mode that I want to talk about, because if someone is in a challenging circumstance, I call it survival mode. There's a passage here in Psalm 69, verse 1, "Save me, God, for the waters have threatened my life." I was thinking if I was a little more proactive, I would have come up with something in the scriptures that talked about fire as opposed to water. You can't really relate to that here, but maybe you can relate to fire. But you get the idea, right? Save me, God, for the waters have threatened my life. Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed, and sometimes we have people that are overwhelmed in their lives in various situations, and so that's what we're talking about here. And so what are four things maybe that come to mind that could be of value to us? Well, the first one is pray. I don't think that's any big surprise for us. I think when we're really in survival mode, there's a certain type of prayer that we might pray. And I'm thinking about myself with respect to that. And there's probably, you know, only a number of kind of prayer, number of prayers. Like you can almost number them, I would say, in my own life where I'm calling out with respect to how the psalmist does here. Help me, O Lord, my God, O save me according to thy mercy. You know, from the inner soul, like a really, wow, you're in trouble and you really need it. And it's extremely passionate from inside. And that type of prayer where you are either, you know, overwhelmed and in a situation that is just pretty shocking. Now, the one that comes to mind of our in our most recent life, a number of years ago now, was a call from Sister Kayla Redmond Hodge, and she was talking to us initially about where Jacob was, our son, and we just kind of sloughed it off because this was the day they were moving from an apartment and they were going into their house, and so apparently he had left the house, but she hadn't heard from him. I probably shouldn't have talked about this one, but anyway. The second call after that was that, you know, after so much time and not hearing from him, finally she did. Oh boy, I didn't realize I was gonna. But yeah. So anyway, I maybe won't tell that story. I will just tell you that out of that story, there was a calling out in prayer. It was just sort of an immediate thing. It was just kind of a shocker, and you just pray to God, like, you know, save him. And the part that probably I remember hurting the most was to say, according to your will. And you know, we do that in life, right? It's according to his will. And that's hard for all of us because, you know, you feel that and you know that, and you got to be subject to his will. But it's like, wow. I mean, you want, and you need help. You can't do anything. And so it's rushing off to the hospital and everything that proceeded from that. But that was a prayer that, you know, I remember, you know, really being from the depths there. And just in that kind of hopeless, overwhelmed type of situation. So I think we have those. And unfortunately, sometimes in those situations, God's answer isn't what we, you know, had hoped. And we have serious trial and difficulty there and loss that's really hard, and other times there are answers and we get the positive and we don't know why. It's just very difficult to understand, and I think we might ask it, we try to learn from it, but in the end we really are just in the hands of the Lord in terms of his decisions on some of these things. So, you know, what else do we have in mind here? Well, recall key scriptures. I remember a lot of times that people say, you know, don't quote scripture to people. And I kind of got going with that a little bit. You know, it's cold or something to quote scripture to them. And I realize, I mean, you know, you can coldly quote scripture to people, but you can also do it with empathy and warmth and in a supportive way in whatever trial they are facing. And you know, Lamentations 3:21-23, beautiful passages. This I recall to my mind. I mean, this is the whole purpose of having scripture in our mind, is that we will recall it. And I remember in that situation, people, you know, did use scripture. they all choose a passage, and there were so many scriptures, I was kind of like, wow. And people were really delicate and brought forth these scriptures, and they were very comforting and encouraging. And I didn't find, you know, there was only one situation in our whole experience with that situation where I thought someone was a little off. Everybody else was just incredible with all of their communications. But you can see what, you know, the Lamentations says there, you know, therefore I have hope it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in him. And we do this independent of his answers to our prayers, but we're always recalling scripture and trying to get that bigger picture. We always got to remember God is good and right, and there are reasons and purposes that sometimes we don't understand. Any other verses that come to your mind that sort of stand out as ones that have been very impactful? God is my refuge. It's short and very powerful. Yep.
I use having compassion make a difference from Jude as a bit of a mantra when I'm questioning whether or not I should step in and help somebody or do something. It's just sort of my mantra that I always want to think about that.
I like that one from the perspective right here. The point we just made is that making a difference. So we do have to be discerning and understanding of what you can do when with people. Sometimes it's just a big hug, and that's all you can do to start with. And then, you know, it kind of moves on from there. The one other that's made a big difference for me, and it pertains more to other matters, when you're worrying about other things that are just, you know, big deals in life. You know, he hath perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I love that one. And of course, this one here is probably the one that maybe most popular, and the one, again, that I've quoted to myself the most here, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. This one is a passage that I quote a lot when I'm feeling the weight of things, and it's noticeable to me that I don't quote it to myself as much when things are going well, which is probably when I should be doing it as well, right? Because they said, all of a sudden, well, things are going well now. Do I need to trust in the Lord, lean on my own understanding, acknowledge him? You know, you start getting a little less from the heart, and often in terms of that sort of spirit of things that we really do depend upon. And even when it's going well, we need to be seeking his help. So that's one that's good. We need to do it appropriately, but it's important. And then number three, I think this is a huge one. Take a day at a time. We're quoting Matthew 6:34 here. This passage really means take a day at a time, period, for all of us, whether you got problems or not, so to speak. This is a principle of the way we live, but it's not talking about certain aspects of looking forward to the future and making plans and being mindful and being prudent. And so I'm quoting it here for that. I think for somebody who is in survival mode, it's getting through the day. You know, like it really is sometimes just one day at a time. And trying to worry about everything else, like tomorrow and the rest of the week, isn't something that you can kind of do. So we're in this mode. You kind of got to take one day at a time. And I would say that when we're counseling and supporting people, keeping that in mind, you cannot live in one day at a time mode in that sense forever, though. And so that's one thing also to be mindful as we move to the next page shortly. Number four, ask for support. The scriptural injunctions, let him call for the elders of the ecclesia. We should be able to rely on the elders, we should be able to rely on others that we can look to provide us with support and help us in times of need. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, says the proverb. So I would say from experience that, you know, we made a mistake once in trying to be too much for a situation. And if you're doing a weekly counsel session where you're supporting someone and working through things, then you shouldn't be the daily on-call person as well. It can all of a sudden I mean, you're just like, you can become overwhelmed and dealing with emergencies and such like. And I think that that would be wise for those of us who are in these situations from time to time, is you got to kind of figure what you can do, and you need sometimes like a bit of a team effort here to be the day-by-day support, and then also trying to counsel in a bigger picture is very difficult. Proverbs 12:25, use care in using the right words. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Beautiful words. Okay, the second section here is on moving forward, because as we said, you can't be in survival mode all the time. You got to be able to move forward. And I found this really useful, that there's, you know, four sort of ways to think about things: the daily things, weekly things, monthly things, and yearly things. And in particular, I think the biggest thing is just one thing at a time. And I can remember situations where we're working with people, and there is one thing for next week, and sometimes even that one thing didn't happen, and you're coming, you know, thinking that next week you're going to add one more thing on there to help, and even the one thing didn't get done. It just was the circumstances of life. Sometimes it's not just a single problem. It seems to be that there's all these sometimes secondary issues, and all of a sudden you're not able to see progress. It's a very patient, okay, be very supportive, and let's move on here with some of what we're going to talk about, and then we'll give, you know, let's take another week and try to implement that change. So you can see, number one, there's a daily sense of the daily bread, the word. There's an exhorting one another daily. There is something that's really good on a daily basis, and it can be just a small change. In addition to our lives, it could be a prayer, a reading, a time set aside for activity or conversation. It could be a 15-minute walk. If it's marriage, it could be two people. Just take 15 minutes for communication, going for a walk. So there's all, it seems very, very small, but you got to start somewhere, and you can't obviously give a whole list of things to people. And sometimes even for ourselves, when we're looking at, okay, how are we going to move forward here? It's like, well, let's just do something and move forward. That's kind of the spirit of this. Weekly, upon the first day of the week, of course, the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them. And so, you know, we obviously have these activities like breaking bread, Bible class, some study, a counseling session, or an activity. Again, there can be something that you say, okay, let's commit to this just once a week. We got some daily thing, we got something once a week, and that's now two things. It might take a little while to get to that. And monthly, there's a principle there of worshiping on the new moons here in the past, a study weekend or fraternal, a weekend working on a project in the truth, or spending time with family or ecclesia in the truth. Sometimes these have a big impact as well. And then we also can make yearly plans. We have that in the principle of the yearly feasts, a Bible school, a conference, a preaching week, or a family trip. I think from a proactive perspective, this is a really good way to look at life and design it all out. I don't know when you do it, if the year starts in September or January, and it's all subject to the will of the Lord, but you kind of think, you know, what's important in my life on a daily basis? You know, everybody's in different situations here in terms of families and children and such like, and relationships, but, you know, what is it that from a spiritual perspective has just got to be there in that day? And I think it comes down to, for sure, there's something related to prayer and reading the Word of God and getting some intake of the Word of God. Those two, it got to be there somehow on a daily basis. And on the weekly basis, again, we have these ecclesial activities. In the case of other issues, there could be a counseling session. It could be for a couple to spend time together and prioritize that, because you know, in some situations we're busy with kids, and there's many kids, and it's all really wonderful that we're giving our lives to these children. These are children of God. We should do that, but you still got to have your marriage, and you have to dedicate time to marriage, and so that's something that you have got to work through. Make sure that it's maintained. And for, you know, single people, there's other things that you think about this way that are important for you weekly with friends or brothers and sisters and visits and such like and caring for other people. And monthly, again, there's lots of special opportunities in our areas, hopefully, where we travel. We've got the yearly situation right here where everybody's chosen to be here, and it's just tremendous impact, hopefully spiritually, and also from a perspective of all of the enjoyment and association that everybody's having together of all these different ages, integrating together. It really is a wonderful thing. So the support tip here is at the right time, gently encourage, looking forward. You know, you got to get a survival mode at some point, but it might take some time, and a lot of patience is required. This one thing Paul says, I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so at some point, people need to move forward and make plans. And you know, sometimes it takes a long time to resolve issues that maybe they've had with other people or problems in the past, and they've got a real pattern. And you talk about it 1 week, and then the next week it seems like you had made no progress, and it just is something that takes a long time. So we're all working with each other to help each other get to the kingdom of God, and I think sisters provide a tremendous amount of counsel to others behind the scenes, and they're very supportive of a lot of other people behind the scenes. There's so much care to give and so much opportunity to do that, and seeing the need and addressing it. And maybe it's that call once a week to somebody. And maybe it's that getting together once a week with somebody else. There's so much work in respect to this for people's spiritual good and their spiritual health. Okay, that's the first two sections. Hopefully that's something helpful. I would like to then try to discuss something related to the next section here, which is basically just generally making decisions with scriptural principles. And we've listed a whole number of principles, just a couple minutes on this. I really like, and by the way, I think there's a few people who didn't get these. The back is just the three or four of you there. I can just. Go. This one on, they're not page numbered, but on making decisions, the first page, 1, 2, 3, 4 down. Does it recognize the relative importance of the issue? This is an important one. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. And this is something I have to really work with myself on, because, you know, the fundamentals and things that are really here are dealt with one way. There's a lot of other stuff that you got to put in that medium-sized bucket and deal with it in a different way, and or the small bucket, or maybe even in a bucket where you say that isn't even worth dealing with. And we got to be really disciplined in that if we get troubled by everything and try to deal with everything in everybody's lives, then it's not going to be great. We really do need to understand what is a big issue that needs to be dealt with and what are small issues, and not make a big deal about small things, and make sure that we are making a bigger deal about the bigger things. Another one I'd like to point out is on the next page. Does it put good and evil in its place? Wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know, especially a good one with children, because this world is just so coming to us full on in so many ways. Is it possible that we can be wise or experienced in that which is good, and they can be that, and that they can be simple, naive concerning evil? I mean, the things that people in the world are showing to their kids and giving them access to so early You want to talk about creating problems and affecting the minds of these children. It is atrocious. And this is a real challenge, obviously, in this day for parents. So this is a really helpful passage related to children. The last one I'll mention on the next page is our vital principles in harmony. Just to re-echo our exhortation, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We're always looking for that intersection point. And if you're talking about mercy, you know, it's mercy, but truth will help us get to the right place on it, and vice versa. You've got righteousness, where are you going to be on that? Well, where it intersects with peace. It's a really good way, I think, to look at things. Okay, so here's a few things that were given to me. Maybe one or two of them we can talk about, or you can provide another idea. So some of these are things which pertain to certain groups, like how to prioritize your marriage amidst busy ecclesial life or family life, addressing a lack of zeal, purpose in the empty nest stage of life. Well, that one I'm in. Practical outworking of the relationship explained in Titus 2, 3 to 5. And what type of relationship to maintain with family members that have left the truth? Does it look different depending on your relationship? For example, parents to child, friend to friend, sibling to sibling, etc. So these are things that were given to me outside of here. Is there anything that anyone would like to suggest that we look at that would be relevant? Don't make it too hard.
Yep. There are some women who are widows. There are some women in other situations as well that a lot of sisters have to deal with.
Right. So if we present that as, you know, this is an issue, not to steal too much, but 1 Timothy chapter 5 is what comes to my mind. It's a very powerful section here related to really the care of widows, but it applies really kind of generally here. And I would maybe just point out that there needs to be, you know, an understanding of everybody's situation, and that we need to be supportive. And I think this one helps when it speaks about in verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So I think, you know, at least for a certain group, you know, the advice here is that, you know, family should be involved in supporting situations of this nature. Certainly when it comes to, you know, financial and much greater with certain situations of trials, then obviously, you know, that in that case, they were dealing with hundreds and hundreds of widows, and they actually had a registry for the widows, and that was for a very specific group. And the other passage, I guess, maybe that was maybe even more relevant to what you just mentioned is 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, of course, talks about the situation where the wife is in the truth and the husband maybe not be, or may not be as spiritually oriented. And I think this goes a long way here. 1 Peter 3, he speaks of, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by their behavior of their wives. Well, they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear. And he talks about the hidden man of the heart in verse 4, the meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God, which is a great price. So, there's a lot of times where the most spiritual person in the family is the sister, and that's a very challenging circumstance, and you have to kind of negotiate through that and providing as much influence for good. And that really can be in a lot of situations, not extreme situations where maybe the husband's not in the truth, but just generally speaking. And I think it's really nice when, you know, a wife is a compliment. She is someone who knows the scripture. She is someone who's spiritually minded, and she is giving suggestions and gently you know, pointing the family and or the relationship in a certain direction. You know, the husband's sometimes just too tired for the reading or readings, and she's suggesting that they be done. I mean, there's a bit of a conscience prick there, hopefully, for the husband that it's got to be done. Like, you got to push through that and get this done. And sometimes it's the sister that is, you know, focused on those types of things. Husbands, they're not here, right? I don't know how I can get away with saying this stuff. It's not being recorded, right? There's nobody recording back there. I mean, sometimes we can be home from work and we're like, you know, we're into whatever we're going to get into. It could be things of the world to relax ourselves, which is not great. Or it could be things of the truth, and we're closing the door and we're going in there and we're getting at it. And again, that can be a challenge too, where we really need to be integrating with the family and doing our part with the family. You're all in different situations, and some brethren have to work long hours, and it becomes a little bigger challenge that way. Anything else? Yep.
But that this just made me think.
Right. And that's a good point. So the point was, you may not hear at the back, but related to people who are single sisters, widows or otherwise, maybe not having the network and the busyness of family, and maybe lots of family and lots of activity, the ecclesial structure and events are there and provide a lot of potential stimulation there. Now, again, ecclesias are different size, and there's all sorts of different situations there, but I think it's a really good point, as you mentioned, that, you know, again, think about what is there from a weekly, monthly, yearly perspective, and sisters who are in situations like that can avail themselves, as single brethren can as well, of all of these other opportunities that come up because of the ecclesia. And I think for the rest of us who maybe are married and we have all of this structure, we need to be really mindful of that, that, you know, Bible class is for the Word, but there is some of these other dimensions that are really important after the class in terms of the interaction. You know, I always think of the Sunday, you had meeting, and boy, some people can get in that car and zip off real quick, but sometimes there's a really important segment in there where we're now actually, you know, talking to one another, to know one another, and to keep updated on everyone's situation, especially mindful of widows and widowers and single young people. That's a really, really important thing to do. Anything else? Yep.
I don't know if all the sisters are aware of this, but perhaps you receive it in your...
Does she also point out when the worldly advice is not the same as the scriptural advice?
Friday is to quote something from the world and then make people think of it from God's point of view.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, again, one of the things you think about is, you know, all of the evils associated to technology, but there's, you know, silver linings. There are things that do provide extra avenues here for service and that. So, that's great. Because of mission work in the Caribbean, have sometimes got on certain lists, and the sister is sending these things out every day. I get more WhatsApp messages from her than anybody else, and some of these are coming from like Christian circles, and if you actually read them, you're like, ooh. So it's nice if there are Christadelphian versions that are scripturally based and thought through that way, as opposed to just sending out all sorts of church-related thoughts that sometimes are off this way and that way. Yep. Okay, just to re-echo that, because I'm sure you couldn't hear at the back, but bottom line, the basic principle was for, again, sisters not to compare themselves amongst themselves, because we're all in different situations and different means, different freedom, different, I would say, some people have more money than other people and such like. It's very easy to be making comparisons and to maybe be a bit down on the situation about that. And so lifting our minds up and making the best of situations they're in, godliness with contentment. But we're talking about a human nature thing here, right? I mean, this is hard to do. And brethren and everybody are going to struggle with these types of comparisons. Paul says in Corinthians, you know, those who compare one to another is not wise. Like, you don't want to get into that for sure. It's difficult not to do that. Again, it's funny how material comes to mind that is later on, and I'm wanting to use it here, but the Ten Commandments are based on covet not thy various things, because you know, your neighbor's got it. When your neighbor has it, all of a sudden you want it. And I relate it to children. I mean, you have a bunch of toys there that one kid's playing with, and he sees the other kid pick up that other toy, and it makes a beeline because that toy is the one all of a sudden that's enviable that they need to have. And so that's something they got to learn through. But as adults, we still struggle overall with that for sure. So that's a spiritual mind and development to, again, understand the riches of the truth, to focus on that, and to, you know, kind of work with in our means and where we're at in life, and to be content with the things that are coming in the future. I think we could do maybe one more, and then I think we're going to wrap it up there based on the time. Any other ones? Thank you for that. So I think we'll just conclude there with an appeal to all of you to recognize the power and the importance of your role as sisters in families and ecclesias and amongst us as a community. Brethren come to the front and say their pieces and we do our presentations, but really a lot of the hard work and the meaningful work is done in those individual conversations and all the work behind the scenes with, you know, other sisters and children and young people and interested friends. There's just a wealth of opportunity to lift people's minds up, to focus on the kingdom, and to move forward. So again, thanks be to God for sisters and for their work in the truth, because without it, it wouldn't work, and God has designed it that we have it such. So again, if you want a few extras here for anybody you think it might be useful for, I think it looks like we got another 10 or 15 copies there. If you want to pick one up and provide it to anybody else, this is one thing I keep in my Bible. There's a few things, and that's one that I keep handy dandy there myself. Okay, thank you very much for your attention and contributions, and we'll just conclude in prayer.